Welcome to an episode of Pop Run Radio. We have our daddy bear here with us today. We asked him to come on.
And then we made him quit working.
Then so we made him quit working so he could come on faster. Left Asher at the greenhouse alone. Sorry, Asher.
He's got it. He's fine.
What are you guys working on at the greenhouse today? It's the middle of October.
We're trying to make it so it can last the winter. We had to replace one of the walls. Oh. Every year we have to replace something.
That's what I was just about to say.
Right.
Every year.
Remind me to tell you something after of what I thought about with the greenhouse.
Yeah,
plans. After what?
After we talk.
Oh. Code word, possible Caden/Ellie wedding. No, just kidding. Oh.
Jackie's getting anxious.
I'm totally kidding.
Is Ellie getting anxious? We know Caden is.
Yeah.
I'm jealous. She's going to get a grandbaby before me. I'm jumping the real gun here.
I doubt that, but you never know. We have Belle. We have Cardston.
But we have Caden who's in love with Ellie.
Yeah, Caden does love Ellie.
I don't have any
potential suitors.
Yeah.
Okay, so Father Dear, we want to hear a little mini life sketch from you of your life.
And like, then we'll push record when you pass away at your funeral.
Good idea.
You can do your own life sketch.
That'd be cool.
I'll make it short so you can use it in the obituary.
Yeah. Yeah, just tell us about yourself, because I know that probably everyone that listens know. I mean, most people know who you are because you're the principal of a school here, but they might not know that, you know,
where you grew up,
et cetera.
That's the problem. I never grew up. I was born and raised in Monticello, Utah. I was the sixth child out of seven children that my parents had. My mom told me when I came out of the womb, I was crying, and I cried till I was 10 years old.
Hey, I only cried till I was one, so yeah. I've got you beat.
I was very boisterous and loud and obnoxious growing up, and nobody wanted to say anything to me to tell me differently. So it's been a long road trying to learn how to control my emotions a little bit more. But I could yell from my house down to Linda Lewis's house, which was four blocks away, and she could hear me as clear as a bell.
Because you can be loud when you need to be.
Oh, yes. When I'm at school, I don't yell at the kids, but when I raise my voice, they listen.
Yeah.
I've never raised my voice all the way up at school. Not one time.
I know.
I do know you had a meeting the other day. Did you? Milo said you got louder than he's heard you. Well, that's cool.
That's not even as loud as I can get.
But I'm just saying that's saying something because he's never heard it.
Well, it's been a bit of a tricky year this year, and Dad had to lay down a lot of the sixth graders, right?
Yeah, all of them. Anyway, I was a farmer's boy, and I worked on the farm all the time, literally all the time. I had no social life growing up. I love my parents to death, don't get me wrong, but all summer long I hoed beans and drove tractor and cleaned out ditches so the beans could be stacked and threshed. And I'd go out after school every day, 5 days a week, and then I'd work all day Saturday until about the end of October. And then we shut it down till the next spring. I fed cows in the wintertime a little bit, but I kind of had a vacation in the wintertime more than so in the summertime, but I worked like a dog in the summertime. Mm-hmm. Now you know why you two guys had to work so much is because I thought it was important to learn how to work. And
I know, but you thought it was important to learn how to work, so we did work really, really hard. My kids don't even know how hard we worked growing up. We worked in the greenhouse so hard, but you also had this balance where you didn't want us to... Like, I remember one time in the middle of a busy season, and Megan lived in the valley, and she wanted me and Hunter to come down to go to a Diamondbacks game. And even though you were neck deep busy, you just thought, you said, you know what? My parents never would have said yes for me to do this, so I'm just going to let you go down and do it. And I thought, that's good. You're trying to find a balance where you taught us how to work really, really hard, but you also didn't want us to not experience things like that.
I didn't want to go as far extreme left as my dad and mom, mainly my dad. My mom was a partier. She'd party all the time when she could. She'd take her grandkids out and play with them all day. They even bought a Jeep, and she drove it around for a while, and she'd just pick up two or three grandkids and go down to Canyonlands or go down to the Goosenecks mm-hmm. and play all day. Fact is, when we got married, she told me and Jill we needed to learn how to party.
Yeah?
Learn how to play. She'd say, learn how to play.
Yes, Pearl. Yes.
So she saw that.
But my dad was a workaholic. He really was a workaholic, and I feel bad because he grew up without a mom, and
Didn't he have any fun or what?
I don't know. He just didn't. He felt like the work was the most important thing. Next to God, he had to believe in God. I learned how to work, how to pray, how to pay tithing, and how to keep the Sabbath day holy when I was growing up.
Those four things,
and I still, most of those, I try to do good on.
Yeah.
I'm only bad on one of them.
keeping the Sabbath day. Let me guess which one,
keeping the Sabbath day holy.
Yes, I always forget something.
Man, it's a hard one. I was always so staunch with that. And like the last 5 years having the babies, I'm like, crap, I need diapers. Crap, I need milk. Like,
crap, you need pizza.
Crap, I need
pizza. Jackie's been eating pizza every Sunday. I'll call her out here.
If Sunday's going to be a day of rest for me in any capacity, we got to order pizza. Yeah. Sorry. I know that's not what
I pick up my mom. Sorry, Walmart
Dad. Don't
Sundays.
Tell you told Dad now. Dad knows I'm doing
what you do is your own business.
I'm going to tattle everything bad I can so he goes out liking me best.
Okay, so you worked hard. You learned how to work really good. Then you started basketball, though.
Basketball was my salvation growing up. I ate, drank, and slept basketball. If you think Milo and your kids eat, sleep, and drink basketball, I was just as bad or worse than they were.
That's good.
You were like Asher, Caden, Milo.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. I played basketball, and that was my outlet. I loved basketball. I still love basketball.
Yep.
I love to play. I wish I could still play, but I'm too old for that now. Asher keeps asking me to go to early morning ball, and I keep saying,
he calls it old man ball.
He calls it old man ball, let's be honest.
No way, Asher.
Do you love watching your grandkids play basketball?
I love my grandkids doing whatever they're doing.
Yeah.
Basketball's the best.
But basketball is the best.
I'll plug that.
Basketball
for
the
our
best.
Family, it definitely is the best.
Well, that's shorter game. Football games last too long.
And they're cold.
Yes, they are cold.
I'm a football. You guys know I love football, so.
I know.
But yeah, basketball's fun. Nice and fast. It is like the Lewis sport.
Well, that worked out. It was on your off season of the
farming
then.
Yeah,
you were good too. You were good at basketball.
I don't know how good. Yeah, I was.
You got prep of the week once.
You did. What did they call it? Prep of the week.
Prep player of the week.
Yeah.
The Deseret News. Which was one of the papers in Utah, picked one athlete a week to honor, and I had three good games of basketball in a row, and they chose me as prep player of the week. So they I have a picture of my office, my face on a plaque. And
your young little face.
Prep player of the week. And I went and had a dinner with all the All-State selections and all the prep players of the week. So it was kind of cool.
Wow, that's a big honor.
You
I love it.
You got yourself a raw steak, right? Am I remembering the story
that's
right?
That's right. They brought me a big old steak, put it on my plate, and it jumped off almost.
You're like, no thanks.
The guy that came back said, why didn't you eat your steak? And I said, I'm sorry, I just can't. I'm not used to eating this rare steak. I ate around the edges, but that's as far as I got. And it was as big as the plate.
Jeez,
that's too much.
That
for
sounds
me.
A little too. Ugh, ugh.
Too Hunter. Ugh.
Yes, Hunter would like that. We yeah, do
Hunter
not.
Would have ate it up so fast.
So then you graduated high school.
1972. I graduated from high school, from Monticello High School, the Monticello Buckaroos. I'd sing it as a fight song, but I can't remember.
Does
it.
Milo know that's your school colors? Because he let me know yesterday when I said, get your Lobo gear on. He says, I know, but why aren't we orange? He wants to wear the Suns jersey for the Lobo Pride.
Because we are royal and white.
I'm just telling you his concerns.
I'm just
and
teasing.
I forgot to say, well, that's her grandpa. So
I bought a pair of shoes last week when I was in Salt Lake City, and I didn't even think about it until I got home, and Jill said, those are your school colors. And I said, oh, my dang, they are. Black and orange.
You have loved that, though, since your childhood. It says something about your school colors, how they stick with you, because you have always loved orange.
You have.
Always. Have. It's been your favorite color, so I love that. So then you went on a mission, right?
I served a mission for the LDS Church to New Zealand, Auckland, New Zealand. I spent 2 years there. Then I came home, and that was my childhood.
And well, then tell us how you met and married Mom real fast.
I was in sacrament meeting one day and sitting in the pew with...
Why were you here?
I came down to work on a pig farm that my brother was running and my dad owned part of it. And I was sitting in the sacrament meeting one day with my brother, and Jim Caldwell was the high council speaker. And Stuart says, you need to go out and visit him and meet his oldest daughter. And I said, okay.
Your brother told you to.
So
you were bold enough just to go out there yourself?
No, when he got done, I walked up to him and I patted him on the back. I don't know him at all. Patting him on the back and said, I'd like to come see your new house and meet your oldest daughter.
Oh my gosh. You're brave.
So I did that. And he went home and said, Jill, she was actually with another boy at the time.
He was there at the house.
He was there at the house.
There at the house and said, Stuart's little brother wants to come out and meet you in a little while. He didn't even acknowledge the other boy that was
No,
in
he
the
would
room.
Just ignore the other boy because he didn't like him.
So that's when I met your mother. And then
she was still in high school.
Oh yeah, she was young for she was 17.
She was a young
senior. High schooler. And you were like what, 21? Just fresh off a mission or 22?
21. I turned 22.
In right May after. Before you got married or what?
No, I turned 22 right before I got married. You're right. Yeah, yeah. 22 in May. And I went out with her once or twice, and then we went out every night from then on until I asked her to marry me. And then I said, you can take your time. I was sicker than a dog when she came and told me yes. I was in bed sicker than a dog. And
she came and told, and the best is that you just laid on her bed while she got ready for prom to go to prom with her boyfriend she dumped. And you laid on her bed while she got ready.
Well, in hindsight, I don't know if I was very romantic. I should have done things a little bit different, but I didn't.
I just love it. I love it. I don't know that John would have wanted to take me to prom if he was already graduated. Oh, no. So I don't think that's a bad thing. Like, that would have been weird.
Maybe you're romantic in your mind. That's David's line.
I'm romantic in my mind.
I watched some of these series on TV and I think, how come I wasn't that romantic?
I don't think anybody is. I read books and I watch TV, and every time I'm like, I don't know one boy who would act like this.
You're right.
Not one. So it's all fiction. That's why they call it fiction.
Maybe you're right.
It's not in their nature.
It's not. I just every time I'm like, I can't, if I thought really hard about it, I don't think I could think of one person who
makes those gestures
just that it ever goes down that way.
So I had a story I wanted to think, or you to tell us. I don't know all the details, but I remember you telling me you found a little bit. Monticello has deer out the wazoo. And you were such a big hunter, which is interesting because you don't hunt at all now.
Well, it's harder to hunt here. I wanted to just drive down the road and have the deer run across the road.
It was just different hunting. You just had to get to know Arizona hunting. But yeah, Dad completely stopped hunting. But you grew up with your, what kind of gun with you? And you just would go out.
30-30.
And look for deer.
So you found a little baby doe. So I want to hear this story. I'll tell you why after.
You remember when John and David and I, we walked down off the top of Blue Mountain, mm-hmm. and we walked down to the highway that goes up to the mountain? Well, I did that previously, that area, and I, about the same area, and we were walking with two of my friends, and we jumped this baby fawn. It was just barely, hardly walk. And we being so stupid, we just picked it up and carried it home. We took a bunch of pictures with it, and then we took it up to where we found it. I don't know if the fawn lived or not, but that was kind of dumb on our part.
I listened to a podcast the other day about the richest drug smuggler in this airplane. It was the interestingest podcast. You guys need to listen to it. But he found a doe in Alaska when he was there fishing one summer, and they brought it home, and they kept it for several years before they ended up putting it in a petting zoo because it got too big. But they had a boat, so they just made the boat okay for, they put enough planks across it so the boat...
Smuggle it in?
No, the deer just lived with them. This was separate. He was fishing one summer before he smuggled drugs, but they just had a pet deer, so I thought of your story.
I actually have a picture of me and the two boys and the deer somewhere.
You got to find it. I would love a copy.
I've got it.
Let us post it this week.
I've got it in a book. I have a book, a scrapbook.
Okay. You got to find that for Paula this week. And I want to know, what was you shooting a buck off of the tractor?
Oh, yeah. When I finally got my license where I could legally hunt, actually, I didn't illegally hunt. I just went out and helped hunters and spotted deer and whatever. I didn't ever shoot deer illegally, just so you know.
Good.
I went out to, we were hunting one morning. It was opening morning, and we had a routine we did every opening morning, and we had done that. We had done all that routine. Oh, this is on a Monday. Sorry, not on Saturday. It was on a Monday. The season opened on Saturday. This is on Monday. We went out to go hunting, and our tractor, our big old John Deere tractor, was up on this field, and it was quite a ways from where we keep all the equipment. I guess somebody decided I needed to drive that down and told where the rest of the equipment was. And so I said, I'll take my gun just for the heck of it. So I put my gun and just had it leaning against the cab with the tractor, and I got on the main graveled road going out to Dodge Point, which is the farm. And I just driving down, then I look off to my left, and there was a buck running parallel with me about 100 yards, running the same speed as my tractor. So I speeded up my tractor a little bit and parked it. And then when that buck got into the road that went up to that area of the farm, when he got right to it, I shot it, and it landed right next to the road.
Yes,
and
you
so
got it.
I went up
on the tractor?
I went up. You have to kind of cut their throats to... anyway.
So Jesse, don't listen to this episode.
Then I went, got back on the tractor and drove down to the... where everybody was, and I said, I have a deer up there I shot on the way down. And I'll tell you, they were so mad because it was a big buck.
You got a good one.
It was a big 4-point buck, and it had a really funny little knob on one of its horns, but it was a nice-sized deer.
Hmm.
I wish you still had the antlers.
Like 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock in the morning. The sun was bright up. It was on the run from the mountain, I'm sure.
Yeah.
You were trying to get away from everybody else.
Well, that was the second one I shot that year.
Nice.
Let me tell you the first story since we're here doing this. Mom was pregnant with James, and we went down to what we called Hebe's Field, and I was dropping off hunters all along the edge of the field, and I took the last spot, and I went clear around there. So Jill and I hiked. Boom, I bet it was 3 miles at least, and she's pregnant with James. This is in October.
Well, she was young and spry.
Right.
18 is like, we can do
anyway, everything. Anyway, we got all the way to the end. We didn't really see anything. So the second thing we do on that morning is we go over to the north area of the farm, and we have some people that are on one end of a whole bunch of trees, and they just walk through the trees making noise and try to force a deer out the other end of the trees. And then we have people that are shooting on the other end of the trees. Well, because Jill was pregnant, I got to be on the shooting end instead of the scaring end, which I normally was on the scaring end. So I'm sitting there, and Jill doesn't, she's thinking, now this is, I'm sure she was thinking this was stupid, she's but I don't know why she was stupid. And this beautiful 4-point buck walked out right smack in front of us, about 50 yards away. And she got so excited, she started pounding me on the back and say, shoot it, shoot it, shoot it.
I think that's what I would be if I went hunting. I'd get so excited. That's horrible, but.
I couldn't hold the gun straight because she was pounding me on the back. So I hit it and it went down. I could see it was still alive, but it wasn't going anywhere. So I just sat there till all the hunters came through. I didn't want to shoot somebody. So then I went up there and it was a beautiful set of
antlers. I wish you had these antlers still.
Well, the first deer, there was a guy that had come up and hunted. It was from Phoenix area, I think, and he didn't get a deer. And he said, can I have that deer? And I said, sure, take it. So he tagged it and took it home to Phoenix. And that's why I was
he's
able to shoot another one.
It's
on.
His.
I know. He's in Phoenix talking about those antlers above his couch.
Anyway, so that's why I shot the other one on Monday.
Oh, I love that. I know, like, I'm such a, like I have this double life where I, like, reuse bags and I don't even, like, I'm all weird about water and like, bags and trashes. Like, I have this earth-friendly side of me, but then I have this other side of me that wants to go hunting.
Well, you got to realize.
And use it
part
for.
Of the,
I mean, you
the,
use it
the
for.
Chain of
life. Yeah, but I don't know what it is, but I just, like, I want to go on a hunt. It sounds fun.
The culture in Monticello is different than the culture down here. I took James up there. Was it James or Hunter? I think it was James. We ended up went hunting with actually Joe Papa and Alan Shields. We went up there and went on a hunt one time and we shot a little 2-point, but it's just not the same.
But you have to get with the right people because
there's a lot of people in town that are very.
I'm not kidding. He's gone at 5 every morning for the last month. Just well, to look at coyotes.
To scout.
This isn't even like.
I used to do that. Not look at coyotes, but I used to do that at a mule deer. I'd go out and take pictures of them when it wasn't hunting season.
I hear him about 5 o'clock every morning, shut my back door real quietly.
I think one of our first memories, honestly, as a family is driving out to Dodge. You'd take us to Monticello and then we would go out and we would see hundreds of deer.
That's amazing to see.
Hundreds. And our cousin, Kurt, actually
does hunt
through there, doesn't he?
I think Eldon Blair
in Monticello
has been there with him.
He has.
And Tom.
A few people.
Kurt does the hunting. He leases the land. Well, they have a whole bunch of land out there now. So Kurt, for his income, he does hunts. He has people come in and pay him to hunt.
Mm-hmm, to help them hunt.
Yeah, and that's where he gets his income. They don't pay him from the farm. He gets his income from the hunt.
Cool. Yeah, it just sounds fun to be out in nature.
I could tell Cardston crew there because I think it would just shock them because Cardston and crew are like Spice and Braden now. They
well,
just
we would, you
day.
Know, you see it occasionally around here, but we would go there and it would be darting across the roads.
All through town.
We would go out to the farm and it would be insane. People just didn't even believe us till we'd take them out there.
I remember taking my kids the first time.
They were crazy enamored, yeah. Okay, so when you say you were kind of obnoxious and wild and crazy as a kid, what grandkid reminds you the most of yourself?
Wow, that's a pretty deep question.
It is. I'm curious.
In a funny way.
Not
you can
bad.
Do like, who reminds you the most when you were older, obviously, but like as a kid and their personality, do you have one that?
Probably Asher.
I was going to guess that.
He just kind of. He's a little more easygoing than I was, but he doesn't let things get under his skin and
just happy-go-lucky.
But I think he's not nearly as obnoxious as I was growing up.
But you've always been pretty cheerful, like, and positive and happy. Have you always been that way, or is that just something you've kind of developed?
I don't wake up with a bad attitude most of the time, maybe all the time. by the time the day winds down, I'm about had it, but
I'm pretty happy.
I'm pretty cheerful.
You've always been just...
You used to walk down the hall singing the BYU fight.
Yeah, you're not intense at all. But that's the thing Mom says that you're intense, but you're intense in a way that doesn't have anything to do with being a dad. You're not intense as a dad, and so we just always knew you as...
That's true.
Just cheerful and easy to be around. But you might be intense in other ways that Mom knows about, or like in your job or what basketball or whatever, but we just always knew... You know, one time me and Megan fought, you got the video camera out and came and videotaped us, and you were doing commentary just to try to make us laugh. Like, you had the video camera and you went, "Oh, Megan, that.
What are you going to say to that, Megan?
I remember that.
And so by the end of it, we were all just cracking up. And I remember you have only ever swatted me two times in my life, and they were when I mouthed off Mom, and I knew we don't mess.
I got one spanking.
We don't mess with our mom.
Being irreverent at church, but I could pick my punishment. And I just thought, hey, a spanking.
That's 5 seconds, right? Yeah.
And then once for mouthing off to Mom too.
Yeah, you didn't mouth off to Mom, and so
which I liked.
Yeah, but you always gave us good lessons. Like, I remember one time you sat us down and for family home evening, and you said, "I had a dream last night that Jackie and Hunter were in the road, and I was screaming at him, get out of the road, get out of the road. But you didn't listen to me. You didn't even care what I was saying. And I woke up just terrified because you were in danger. Like, you have to be obedient." And those lessons as a kid, you're like, okay, I'll be obedient. It just like you didn't scream and yell at us. You made us see why we needed to be obedient. You were like, I am here to protect you. If you don't listen to me, I'm not going to be able to protect you. And so me and Hunter are nodding our heads like, okay.
Hunter didn't listen as well. I banged Hunter up against the wall one day when I was so mad at him. I picked him up by your back door, Megan. I just picked him up against the wall and got right in his face. I don't even remember why. And the funny thing is, I'd send Hunter down the valley delivering plants when he was
16.
16, 17, 18.
He would haul a trailer.
He would haul a 20-foot trailer, and I just let him do it.
We did just let people do that, though. But I remember even one time, the only truck you had available was a little red Ford truck that was stick shift. We called it the red, what do we call it? Anyway,
I don't remember.
I needed to get up to cheer. I was a junior in high school. I didn't know how to drive stick. I felt like Hunter knew how to do all that stuff. But since I was so close in age to him, I would just hop in with him. So I didn't learn it myself. And he was already playing basketball and I needed to get up to cheer. So I took that truck and just jerked my way the whole way up because I didn't
just walk.
I should have just walked. But doesn't it sound like something our kids would do? Try to take a truck they don't even know how to drive just so they don't have to walk. I was in a hurry. I was
two
in my
blocks.
Cheer outfit. Yeah, it was cold. I was just trying to get there. And so I got home that night and I just was beside myself and I was getting a little salty with you. I was just like, nobody's taught me how to drive stick. What do you expect me to do? And I'm not usually, you know, disrespectful, but I was on one that night and you said, fine, get in the car. And you just completely called me, put me in the car, drove me out past Tom's house and made me learn how to do it. And I mean, you just took the wind right out of my sails because you're like, fine, if you want to do it so bad, let's go do it right now. I'm like, right now? You're like, right now. I said, okay. And you took me. You might not remember that, but you took me
out. I don't remember that, but it sounds fun.
You took me out and taught me how to drive stick. And I've known how to drive stick ever since. But I just, it's hard to drive stick, especially when you're a dramatic, stressed out cheerleader trying to get to their game. I mean,
Megan would have probably driven it easily.
I know. I am good at driving stick. I remember when we went into the Canyonlands and we got stick Jeeps and I was driving and you were like, you're really good at driving a stick. I was like,
and you were really, you prided yourselves on our parallel parking because that was back when we had to parallel park to get our license. And when I parallel parked perfectly or when Megan did, you were outside watching and you would go, yes.
Well, you practiced before you went out there.
Yeah, this is awesome. How do you feel about this podcast?
Ooh. This one or your
ours,
podcast?
In general.
I get a kick out of them. I like to listen to them. They make me laugh. Right in front of me is the disco ball.
That you hear so much about.
That I've heard so much about on the last podcast. And I tried to order a disco ball, but it's smaller than that one, but it's larger than the ones you have on your mirrors.
Go, this one doesn't work in here.
Yeah,
let's
you can have it. Let's go hang it in your house.
You put it
or in your do you have a window in your office at school?
Oh, no. Good heck, no.
Shoot, no. Dumb. Well, we'll hang it for you today.
Because it's disco season, to quote
it's
Milo.
It's disco season because this is when the sun actually can
it's
get
perfect.
Your disco ball. So how do you,
you
feel
didn't
about...
move it closer to the window.
This one won't ever get it. It's just a...
Maybe you're right. I wonder if we moved it. But I want to come bring it.
12 inches from there
to
the
window.
I want to
come put it in your house.
Let's go put it in their bedroom.
Let's do it in their bedroom.
Okay. I told Jill we ought to put one in our bathroom and we'd have... Nice
that's
light.
That's where Jessie needs to put hers.
Oh, pretty. I love that idea.
Let's do it.
So the episodes with Mom, are they too revealing or are you okay with it? We all sell our souls for a laugh, so are you okay with that?
They make me laugh.
Okay.
That's so funny. I'm okay with that. Whatever you say is okay with me.
Even dancing with scarves. He's getting a little embarrassed now.
I deny that.
Dancing with what? Scarves.
Remember the contemporary dancing?
Yeah.
I tried to start one of those the other day, not with scarves, but it didn't go over, so I didn't.
It didn't go well. Wasn't the timing.
Our memories of Dad are several, but we remember his, what did he call his thing he would wrap around him? You wore this thing.
Lava.
You wore this thing from New Zealand that you would put on, because you'd sleep in your garments, but then you'd wake up and put that thing on. It was like a little skirt, but that's what I remember you wearing. Is that from your mission? How did you learn about that?
Yes, I got that idea in New Zealand. It's called the lava. They have them. All the island people have them. Those Tongans that live in town probably have one or two of them too, because I've seen them out and about with those on.
Yeah.
I didn't wear them out in public, but I wore them around the house a lot.
And then all of a sudden you didn't. What made you stop?
Too much work to keep them on.
Yeah.
Too much work to keep them on.
Yeah, he went to
jams. I still have probably five of them packed away.
Cool.
You want one?
Yeah. Of course we do. I'll hang it up in my house somewhere.
I'll give you some.
I'd love it.
I even know where it is.
Good. Yeah, let's go get it. I would love it. Let's look through them all and the picture, and then let's hang the disco ball. But
Megan's got to go to a wedding.
No, we're fine. We're good. What are your favorite things to do as a Lewis family? Like him and Jill Lewis family.
Last time we went to the grist mill in Monticello was one of the funnest times I had. Mom wasn't feeling too good because she'd had something. She couldn't get up and down the stairs very well, but everybody was there. And we did our own thing. Linda kept trying to do more than we wanted her to, but...
She's the best host. She's the host that goes over.
But after I did that one, I told Jill I'm not going to plan anymore for a while, and I haven't since then.
Why? I need another one.
Well, Hunter planned us to go to that... Hunter got us a place when we went to the Lewis reunion, but that was a bomb. There was nobody there from Monticello at the Monticello reunion, so...
I had fun, though, at that Airbnb in the woods.
That Airbnb was super fun. I mean, remember, I was there literally tinfoiling out the window so my babies would sleep.
I remember that.
And I had Hazel stuffed in a bathroom to sleep, but...
Desperate times.
Desperate times call for desperate Mosers. Okay.
I enjoyed that.
That was fun.
We used to go to the Lewis reunion pretty regular when they have it up on Blue Mountain, right by that other B&B you're talking about.
I loved the Lewis reunions every 2 years.
I liked them too. I thought they were fun.
My kids still love them. They asked to go.
My kids love Monticello.
We went for a fall break a few years ago and they
I don't know what it is about it, because we all just kind of disconnect and we all just get back to the farm and we get back to, it's just the best, you know, nothing like Dutch oven potatoes and hamburgers at Aunt Linda's house. It's just like the best. So,
and we go drive to the top of the mountain and we do things that every time we go up there, we do the same thing, but it seems like it doesn't get old.
No, it's a fun tradition. So
I enjoy it.
What's a good memory you have? I guess you just said memories with that, but what's a good memory you have of us as a family?
Well, I will tell you this. Every child that was born, I gave your mother a priesthood blessing and told her in the blessing what the sex of the child would be.
Really? You were always
all
right.
All five of them. And I didn't say that just to say that. I felt very impressed to tell Jill she was going to have a girl or a boy.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm 100% on that, thanks to answer of prayers. That's a fond memory. That's kind of a...
I have a question about a non-fond memory of your youth.
Shoot.
I want you to tell the story of you putting a love letter back together and the consequences of it.
I think I've told you too many stories.
I love them. That's what we want.
I was a junior in high school, I think, and I was a library aide. That was one of my classes. I was a great library aide. I knew how to shelve those books really good and put their number.
I know where I come from now. What?
Anyway, I
and
did
your
that.
Major in college was English, so.
2 years I was a library aide. Well, there was a kid that was my age, and he was, well, anyway, he's sort of a nice kid. I ran out of things to do that day, so I was emptying the garbage cans for the librarian. Then I went to one garbage can, and there's paper all ripped up like you're ripping up a note. And so I thought, yeah, this will be fun. So I put it on the table and put it back.
You did not. How do you know all these stories?
I put it back.
You guys live with each other. That's why. I don't know any of them.
I put it back together again, and it was a love note from a boy in my class to a girl that was a year younger than me. And I put it back, and I circulated it.
Oh, Dad. It's horrible.
This is awesome. curious.
You started to pass it around the school.
I was in the bathroom combing my wonderful hair one morning, and this kid walked in the bathroom, and he was behind me, and I was just combing my hair, and then I turned around, and he just belted me right in the face.
Got punched in the face.
At least two times, maybe three. I've got a cut over one of my eyes that he made my eye bleed, and I had to get stitches. Anyway, when I got all that done and I came to get a tardy slip or excused it, slip to go back into class, you guys may not know who Sonny Liston is, but he was like Muhammad Ali. He was a great fighter.
Yes, we know.
Okay. Well, on the, I still have this note, by the way.
Shut up.
I do. It says on the note, replacing Sonny Liston. That's what the principal put on the excused tardy note, that I was replacing Sonny Liston.
Because you were punched. A fighter? Oh, you we have to find back, that note,
you,
too.
I've got, you. I put a lot of stuff in a book. I've got tons of stuff
Sunday,
in one
Sunday, when we get together for ice cream sandwiches,
I would love to go through that.
Speaking of Sunday, we're going to do chocolate ice cream and vanilla because Hunter wanted chocolate ice cream last Wednesday. Didn't work out.
For his birthday.
We're celebrating his birthday. Let's do it.
Did you make that sugar-free?
No. The answer is no. Who was your favorite
Speaking
sibling?
Speaking of ice cream, do you have one of my ice cream canisters?
Yes. I'll bring it to you.
Thank
Sorry.
You.
It's because, listen.
I know why you have it.
You send all the extra ice cream with my boys, and I want you to stop doing that because I don't have my crap together, Dad. I'm not on it. That thing sits in my freezer for about 5 years, and then...
We'll just bring it back.
I will, because I finally cleaned it after, 6 months? I'm a hot mess.
Well, I have three ice cream makers, but...
I'll get it back to you. I know I'm missing a canister. So who's your favorite sibling?
Ooh, that's a...
That's a tough one. I don't know Glennis very well. She was so much older than me.
You're kind of like the Hazel and Ollie of your family, you and Dana. How many years difference between you two and the other four? Five.
Christine's 7 years older than me.
So exactly like, yeah.
Dana's 3 years, 2.5, 3 years younger than me. My mom and dad had the older kids and they weren't going to have any more. And then they decided to have more. And that's when Dana and I were born.
You're the baby.
Dana's the baby.
Oh, okay. That's right. You're the Oliver.
I don't know if I really have. I just don't know Christine very well. I mean, I will say this. I have a closer relationship with my brothers than I do my sisters. It's not because I don't like them any less. I just see them more often. And
well, Stuart lives here, too.
Stuart lives here.
Which I get
this is the only reason you were here is because Stuart.
I'm just saying, I get someone at least several times a year, probably five times a year, who don't know that you and Stuart are siblings.
Yeah, they don't know that Tiffany's our first cousin. Tara Lee's our first cousin. Jeremy and Jamie are our first cousins. Like, we have a lot of family associated with Snowflake, so it's fun.
It is, but I should go out with Stuart and Betty more often. Jill says that a lot, and I don't follow through.
This week.
So you are a principal here. How do you like it?
I've never done anything that's more fun than that job as a principal. Snowflake Intermediate School, grades 4, 5, and 6. I love the kids, I love the staff, and I'm happy going to work. And when that changes, I'll retire. I'm old enough to retire, age-wise, but I'm still having fun. So, and Milo's still in school. He's in 5th grade, which is Megan's child. So I wanted to stay there at least till he gets...
He's the only one there right now.
Right now.
You know, you could...
Through 6th grade.
You could just keep going for Oliver and Hazel.
Well, you know, this is kind of a tender moment for you, Jackie.
Why?
I was out on the playground the other day. There were some police officers that were just kind of coming, turning the campus to try to get a feel of it. And I saw Milo over there, and I thought, Abe should be over there with Milo. It came to me so strong that day that Abe should have been there with Milo.
I get that a lot with Milo.
I do, too, because I look at him.
Like the primary program tomorrow.
Primary programs are usually crushing to me, but the fact that Ollie's in it will be fun. And Ollie is standing right by Milo, so... We're all sitting in a different location.
They probably
it's
put
important.
Them together on purpose.
Because Milo helps him so much to be just
we
calm
to
up there.
We have sit on the other side of the church than we normally sit
but
on.
But yeah, I think about that too every time I see Milo because I love Milo, but it's also like
this
just
is
a reminder.
Subject, but I'm going to tell you this little story. Ren Peterson now works at the school, and he has a boy that's in 5th grade. The boy's a pretty good basketball player, and he's quite tall. So... Ren Peterson, when he was interviewing for the job, he said, if I take this job, can I get into the intermediate school basketball court to play basketball for basketball? And I said, yes, would you like to coach with me? And then I kind of let it go. And then the other night, I was sitting in Megan's room. This was just
a couple nights ago.
And I said, Milo, I said, how would you feel if Ren Peterson and I coached you? And he said, oh, I don't know. I don't know if I want that, but Megan can tell you why he said that.
We had been talking about something else. I can't remember what now. And he thought we were talking about that. So he was like, no, I don't know. And we're like,
then what happened after I left, Megan?
Yes. He just acted casual about it. And then the minute my dad walked out, he started jumping up and down like a 2-year-old. Yes, yes, yes. Because he's asked me at least 50 times in the last 3 years.
Oh, all the grandkids want grandpa to coach them at some point in Little League or in Little Youth. Okay. And then what did he say?
Oh, I said, why didn't you show that reaction to grandpa? It would have made him happy. And he says, I'm 11 years old, mom. I don't know how to act. I'm only 11.
They're at that cusp where they want to be old and mature, yes, but they're still kids. So they want to act cool, but in their heart, they're still jumping around like a 6-year-old. Right.
Yep. Anyway, I thought that was very funny.
Happy.
I love that because, I think all the grandkids love that you've coached them. I think the only reason you didn't coach Liam is because John and
right, that's true.
His friend were
super engaged in that one.
Which was great. But like you did all the other ones, I think.
I don't know if you did maybe Grant.
I don't think I did Grant. Grant's really made a lot of progress in basketball.
Milo and Grant play all the time.
Really do.
They
practice
were there at your school
like
yesterday
crazy.
For hours.
Was Milo up there too?
Well, Milo had primary practice first.
He goes to primary and then come play basketball.
I know. And then he called me. He's like, I'm on my way up to the school. Practice is over.
Done with the practice. I'm on my way up.
He was so mad he had primary practice because Grant had planned to go play.
A big plan.
And I was like, it's your last one. You're fine.
You know, if they can just work on their speed, the Snowflake program is fast. If they can get fast, then I think they
this
work
is my
hard.
This is my analyzation of Asher in basketball. He's got great offensive skills. He knows how to rebound. He needs to learn how to play better defense. He needs to learn how to move his feet. Caden was really good at defense. Caden knew how to move his feet. If Asher could move like Caden did defensively,
He'd be unstoppable. Remember when we see his arms come out of nowhere to slap a ball and we're like, where did that arm come from? It's like 10 years long.
I got called a monkey with my long arms all through basketball.
Yeah, I didn't know that. His wingspan is just insane. Mm-hmm. So
was mine. Everyone would, and then I'd get in those sleeveless shirts and my arms just looked like so long and gangly.
Like a gorilla.
Yeah. Yep, that's
touching the ground.
Yeah. But you've worked with that my boys in basketball for sure. And Asher comes up to me and he's like, all I do is use my bum the way grandpa told me. He says bum for my benefit, but we know he's saying butt every other time. But he's like, grandpa taught me how to use my bum, so I know what to do. Because he just says, bum in there.
Because I was too short. I played guard in high school. And then when I got down in Snowflake and they had a really, really good city and church league down here, I played in that. And that was as fun or more fun than playing school ball.
Oh, I remember those days very well.
You guys were in the paper when you won. That was a big deal in Snowflake.
Cameron Peterson, Shea Flake, and me, and one couple years Lance Jones were on the team. And we had about 6 championships in a row with that group.
Love it.
We kind of knew what everybody would do.
Yeah, you got it to a good rhythm. That's what we tell Caden when he was so heartbroken about basketball. We're like, you know what? This is something you'll use forever, though. Like John always says, you're not necessarily going to use football forever. But basketball, you're going to use it for years and years and years. It's going to be so fun for you for years.
I played intramural basketball up at college, and it was the funnest time of my
life. I'll bet it was.
Yes.
I loved it.
It's like, and Snowflake still does that stuff. They still have city ball. That's a big deal. They still have, you know, those opportunities. And so that's why basketball is fun. It's fun to do that. Mm-hmm. So do you have any funny memories of me or Megan?
Yeah, I have one of you. Jackie used to get up in the morning time and practice the piano.
5 a.m. My alarm went off at 4:44 so I could make a wish. Do you remember that at 4:44 or 3:33 or whatever you'd make a wish? I set my alarm for 4:44 so I could make a wish and then get up.
Anyway, one day I walked down the hall and she was sitting on the toilet going to the bathroom, but she was sound asleep, slouched over.
There was a heater right above that toilet in my defense.
She was totally wasted. She was gone.
I'm still in shock that she woke up that early. See, Piper doesn't want to do cheer because it's at 5
no,
in the morning.
No, I was
Jackie
dead.
If Jackie can do it, you can.
Here's the thing. When I tried out for cheer, I could see that mom was worried about my piano. And I was just wanted to prove her that I could do both. I was like, I can do both. And I'm dedicated. She was just worried that my dedicate, because mom was more pushing the music for me, probably because maybe I couldn't make a team. So she saw the writing on the wall. But she was like, yeah, I'm just worried about your piano. So that was my way to show her that I was still going to practice an hour a day and do cheer. But I loved it because we did the work release at that time. And I signed up as a senior to work for J&K Nursery, and there was stuff to do. Sometimes he'd open a cold frame and it would be completely deadhead covered in geraniums, and he'd say, "Deadhead the cold frame." And I just wanted to weep. This was before the days of a JBL speaker. This was before the days of AirPods, oh, yeah, where you could like listen, like it was just completely quiet out there. Bored as heck. I would
have 100 commercials.
Yeah, the 100 commercials on the radio, but it was hard work to deadhead an entire greenhouse. But sometimes when the greenhouse wasn't in season, I'd come home and he'd be like, I'd be like, "Mom, Dad, I'm just going to lay down and take a nap before cheer," and he'd write on my thing, "Office work."
Well, you're in the office, sort of.
Because I was so pooped from getting up at 5 a.m. to practice the piano that I would take a little snooze before cheer.
Don't let Spice hear that. He's doing that for David, and he hasn't got to take a nap yet.
Yeah.
David works him too hard.
What's the memory of Meg you have?
Let's see. Megan, I remember when they moved to Provo, she was in this play. Do you remember that play you were in at that school?
Yeah, we would watch it on video all the time.
Oh, the circus?
The circus.
I thought it was amazing.
First grade circus.
Okay, I remember you in that play, and I remember you just walking around on that floor acting like whatever animal you were, and I thought, she's into this play.
So shy, that's shocking.
You want to know a memory of that?
Sure.
I was on a jump roper. I was a jump roper for one of the performances, and I could not find where I put my jump rope. So one day they called out all the jump ropers, and I just sat there and pretended like I wasn't one. I totally got caught. I don't even remember what happened, but I just remember.
Did you do it at the circus then?
Yeah.
Mm. Well, I just remember.
Tumbling. I have me tumbling.
Dad and Mom had that on a VHS tape, and I as a little girl, yeah, would go watch that and be enamored with it, and I would wait till I could
those
pick you out.
Those heads that we got to wear, those mm-hmm. like, it was legit. Heads, they were really cool.
Yeah. You have all those tapes?
I found those VHS tapes when I was cleaning out the storeroom. I've got a whole box of them.
Dad, I'd like to take those and get them made digital for Christmas for you. Can I do that?
Oh, absolutely.
It's important because those kind of players are going to be obsolete and then they get damaged and ruined. But if you get them digitized on a disc, like a little thumb drive, then you will have them forever.
I know someone might be able to do it for you unless you know how.
No, Walgreens would do it or somewhere like that. But it's been on my mind. Even your little videos we need to
get. That's what Spice just bought, is one of those little videos.
I have one of those
skateboarding videos.
Oh, there you go.
So he's been making videos.
Well, I'm glad that you like the podcast and that you think it's funny. And
I think it's entertaining. Sometimes you get a little serious, but that's okay. I was kind of shocked at your Uncle Tom. He was more serious than I thought he would be on the podcast, but that was okay.
We get a little prosaic. Is that what you're saying?
You guys about the same every podcast, but you're the customers. What do you call us?
Guests. Our guests.
I'm your guest?
Yeah.
Be my guest. Be my guest.
You are our guest.
Anyway, I like listening to them.
Some of them make you bored. Yes, yes, yes.
They are girly, I'll admit.
It's funny because some of the episodes that we're like, I don't know, it's like our most popular episode. And then some of the episodes that we are loving, a lot of people get bored. So it's just like, we have to try everything because we're hitting people with all of them, just different people for different things. Yeah.
How much time do we have left?
Why?
No, I'm just curious.
Oh, we're done anytime. We just have to do our favorite things.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, we're done. I didn't even have a chance to talk enough.
That's what I'm saying. What else do you want to talk? What else do you want to say? What's been on your mind? Anything?
I think it's great you're doing this. I think anytime my kids, mine and Jill's kids, can do things together, I'm a happy person. So is she.
It forces me and Jackie to be friends.
We never would be together otherwise.
You're right. You two have a very, very unique bond that I rarely see in anybody, anywhere.
Well, we've always been tight, but when Abe passed away,
yeah, I know that even tightened it up. And the fact that you were there for Jackie when Abe passed away, and Jackie's been for you for some things, and I think as a parent, you can't ask for more than that.
You can't. I love it when my kids hang out together.
I agree, when they help each other through hard things. Mm-hmm. So let's just get it straight on the record. Uh-oh. Me and Megan are your favorites, right?
We can get you to make ice cream.
We can usually get you to do about anything we want you to do.
That's just the thing. You can get me to do about anything.
Yeah. If we came to you and said, Dad, we need to bury a body, you probably would do it.
Megan doesn't know how to make ice cream.
No, we don't learn because we want you to do it. Hey, I don't know how either.
My other thing I refused to make was hamburgers, and I made them a few weeks ago.
I won't make hamburgers. I have never, literally can't remember the last time I cooked hamburgers for my family.
I made them a few weeks ago, and they actually turned out really good.
Maybe we ought to have a fall picnic before it gets too cold. Next week's going to be cold, but maybe the week after that.
Let's we need something fun like that. But you're dodging the question. Are we your favorite?
I thought our brothers don't even listen to this.
Let's see. What are those boys' names? I can't even remember.
Perfect. Like we would say who our favorite kid is.
I know, but there is something about dads and daughters.
Oh,
that,
my girls can get whatever they want.
Yeah,
Peyton.
But I kind
I'll
of love
say no,
it.
And they'll say, "Dad."
Right. I kind of love that Hazel just secretly loves John the most because it's really sweet. And I feel that way about my own dad. So I'm like, I love it.
I
like, there's something about moms and sons. Like, we see mom bend over backwards for our brothers, but we're like, it's fine because we could go to dad for any reason, yes, and he would totally
it's a thing
bend
always.
Over backwards for us. It is.
I believe that's probably true.
Yeah.
I do.
Like, and it's, I don't even resent that mom will bend over backwards for her sons because I'm like, well, we kind of have that
way.
On the other side.
Ask my boys. Yeah. I'm the biggest simp.
We are super big simps for our boys. There's just
but
something.
But if I say no to my girls, they'll go ask David.
Yeah.
If
yeah.
it's something that's not a big deal, like yeah. screen time.
Well, we're past yeah. that unless, I don't know.
We don't need to ask you for screen time, but we do need to ask you for
ice cream.
Like,
ice cream.
I remember when we went to women's conference back, this was back
Mom
when I only had two kids.
Oh, I remember that trip.
I only had, and my mom got asked to speak at women's conference in Provo. And so dad drove us up there and it was glorious because he'd drop us off right at the door. Then he'd pick us up right at the door. We never walked everywhere.
Again.
And then he dropped us off right at the restaurant. We didn't have to park.
Let's go
he would drop
again.
Us off
like
at the restaurant
conference.
And then we'd run in and it was awesome. And it's just nice to have you because you take care of like every little
the
detail.
The dumb little things. I remember when I went on that girls trip down the valley with you guys. So that one was, that one convinced me I didn't need to go on girls trips anymore because you'd buy something in West Mesa and then you'd drive over to, I mean, East Mesa and then you'd drive over to West Phoenix and buy something. Then you'd drive back to West Scottsdale. You were all over the place. And I thought,
we
Jill said, why
about
worry
it?
About it?
And
said,
what we
point.
Love when it's just us is that no man is freaking out about it.
If
we backtrack 5,000,
we
don't
drive
care.
30 minutes for a soda.
If Megan and Jill have to sit in the car for 45 minutes while I'm in a bookstore, I don't feel pressured to get out or anything. We just all are on no schedule, no plan.
I need a girls trip.
I do too.
You just had
do.
One. You just went to Europe for
That's
crying
true.
Out loud. That was last month.
Oh yeah, my bad.
For 10 days.
We haven't been anywhere for
okay,
so long.
Okay, maybe for Jill's birthday.
That was too funny. I need a girls trip.
Like we've been famined on girls trips.
Well, I am taking all the boys, all my sons and grandsons and sons-in-law down to a Phoenix Suns game in December. Now that we have heard that James, our oldest, their oldest brother is moving to
Washington,
we're going down to a Suns game.
I love it. And they still talk about your jeeping the Canyonlands trip.
I was just looking at those pictures the other day, too.
Okay, I have two quick stories about Dad. One of them was we were down in Mexico. This is back before cell phones, back before whatever. We were down with the Caldwells and we were in this huge resort. Huge. I was a junior between my junior and senior. No, between my sophomore and junior year this summer. And all of a sudden, I got in my own little Dardarville like I tend to do. I tune out and get in my own head.
You don't say.
And all of a sudden, nobody was in the foyer anymore. And I didn't know where our room was. I didn't know the room number. It was massive. And I was kind of panicked because it was in a foreign land, foreign country speaking. I had no idea what to do. So I found a little alcove in the thing and I said, if I just sit here, I bet my dad will figure me, will come find me. So I sat down in the alcove for maybe 5 minutes and all of a sudden dad comes wandering back down. Jackie.
I remember that as if it happened yesterday.
You knew he'd come back down and find me and I knew he'd come. So it was really like, I just knew he'd come figure me out. And then the other one is when we were in Hawaii as a family after Luke got off his mission, it was just the adults and it was a super busy Shark's Cove where... Is that what it's called, Shark's Cove, where we went snorkeling?
I don't remember.
It was super busy because everyone was selling the snorkeling gear and renting it out. And there was a ton of food trucks and there was just a ton of people. And I remember I needed something. So I yelled dad as loud as I could. And like you shouldn't yell dad. No, but dad turned around from like way, way across the street, way far away. He knew my voice and he turned around. And I just have always loved that because I feel like, I don't
know.
He's
there for you.
Dad's there for me and he knows my voice and he knows...
I do know your voice.
You know my voice and you know, like, you'll come
I know
find Meg- me.
I can find Megan by her laugh.
Yes.
My deep low
wherever we're at, I'll know if Megan's there because she laughs a lot and she laughs deep and she enjoys
it. You want to know a funny story? As we went and did a freaking cold plunge yesterday and it was so cold that everyone didn't recognize me because my voice was high. they were like,
you usually do
different.
Have a low voice.
I hope that's helpful.
I don't know, but I've done it twice and
it's hard.
Me.
Yeah. So do you have any fun memories of dad?
Oh, put me on the spot. Let me think of something new. When I did the hoop shoot in fourth grade,
oh,
he
that
would
was
take
fun.
Me up to, he got a gym key. This is before he was the principal at that school. He figured out how to get that key and he would take me up at 5 or 6 in the morning and practice free throws every morning before the hoop shoot.
And you got far in the hoop shoot. You went all the way to
Vegas.
Vegas.
But he would just wake up, because now the thought of waking up early and taking my kids to play basketball makes me want to poke my eyes out.
I know.
And he just willingly did it all the time. So
yeah. Well, he used to play old man ball. So he'd be
Hey, it's not old man ball. We were pretty good.
That's what Caden calls it. I know. And they're really not that old. They're like not, they're probably in their, you know,
40s and 50s.
No, 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, because
I'm the old woman at the ball now.
Yeah, pretty much.
But yeah, I appreciated that. He would.
That was a fun run.
It was.
Megan made, I mean, James made Megan wear the same outfit for every hoop shoot. Hairdo. And she had a long sleeve shirt, like a sweater shirt on, and it was down in the valley.
I got so superstitious that I had to wear that and braid my hair.
And you didn't wear it in Vegas, and what you lost.
Well, I wore the sweatpants, but I took the shirt.
She was too hot.
It was hot. Vegas is not cold.
That was a long day getting to Vegas because our car broke down.
You made it eventually.
My mom and dad were actually there for that.
Yep.
Well, and then David threw away all your trophies. That makes me angry.
Well, what makes me angry is I want all the handmade dresses mom made for me and Megan for Hazel, and you threw all those away.
I know.
So now you can't be mad at David.
You're like me. You're wanting to clean the house so much, and you're so organized. I have thrown away so many important things because I'm just chucking. So I get it, but I'm very sad when I look at
it. I have thrown away too many things. When Jill was gone with you guys on that girls' trip to Europe for 10 days. By the way, that was a long last day for you guys.
Yes, it was a nightmare.
Anyway, I told her I'm going to clean out the pantry in the house. I went to the pantry and cleaned it up. And I cleaned out most of that storeroom that we're going to turn into an apartment or whatever. And I told her, I said, I won't throw anything away. I will
let you go through it.
I went through it, and I didn't even go through her stuff. I just boxed it up and put it in the other place.
So you've learned.
I'm not gonna do that.
I'm still a tosser. We get that trash trailer about once a quarter, and I love it.
In fact, sometimes I regret what I've tossed. I'm like, oh, that was a cute t-shirt, and I just got too claustrophobic one day and threw everything I owned away, and it was not a good idea. So,
haven't you guys ever seen my little scrapbook I made? I'm sure you have.
I'm dying right now at the thought of it.
It's got me a picture at BYU in a t-shirt and a pair of boxer shorts in it.
Will you please listen? Imagine. You need to find this, because on Sunday when we're together for Hunter's birthday, we want to look through it.
Yes.
Please.
And get pictures for Paula for the week.
So
she posts for us on Instagram for
Okay. So we need to close. So something that made you happy this week. Something small, something shallow.
Here's something. I'll go first. Yeah. Here's something not small, but it's large. We took Jill up to the hospital in an ambulance a couple nights ago, and she had her heart looked at, and her heart came out like a young girl. So that's not small, but that made me happy this week.
Yes, but I also think she should get an echo.
I don't know how I feel about that, because arteries looked clean on
David's.
David
are clean.
And you need an echo.
Hey, you guys can't cut my small.
Okay, you're getting off.
We're just worried about our mother. That's all.
Okay, that is a good thing.
It is a good thing that her arteries were clean, but I still was like, somebody order an echo, because that kind of pain.
Oh, and I'll tell you one more thing. We went to a conference up in Salt Lake City. We flew in, and it was fun, and we rented a car, and it was a Camaro. So that was fun. It was a red Camaro. It was a convertible, but it was so cold we couldn't put the top down. But we went and had breakfast at the Pancake House.
Every day.
Well, we did actually have three of them. But there's an outlet mall right by there. It's a Nike store. And I went down there and I bought 3 pairs of Nike shoes.
Oh, did you sew Asher?
2 are on sale. And one of them has the word Nike written. That's the one that's written in. It's black and orange.
Awesome. You got to show Asher and Benny.
I've got a kid at school. He's a Raven boy. He's in 4th grade. Parker Raven. And he started liking my shoes. So every time I have a new pair of shoes on, I go, I'll show them to him. And he shows such a reaction. I just keep doing it. I just keep buying shoes.
You're going to get the reaction you want.
But anyway. And then, before we left, we were right across the street from a JCPenney, and I liked
it. Oh, Dad loves JCPenney.
I liked a JCPenney, so I went in there. We just had dinner, and so we'd had a lot of Coke in our system, a lot of pop, and you have to go to the bathroom, right? So Mom says, I don't want to go in. I said, I'll just go in there and look, and I found shirts that were $9.
Yes.
And so I pulled out 4 shirts, and I was trying to match them with ties, but I was in there 45 minutes, and Mom was
peeing her pants in the car.
Yeah, she was about ready to croak. But anyway.
You love JCPenney.
4 shirts, 4 ties, for $101.
Nice.
Boom, babe. I love a good deal. So, Maggie.
All right. My good thing for the week. I have a good thing and a BS flag.
Okay. Okay.
I don't understand the BS flag either. The Go BS. On.
So my good thing is my friend Katie from Twisted Sugar came to town and we went to lunch.
Mm-hmm. That is cool.
So that was fun. And I don't know if it's a good thing or a BS flag. It could be both. Doing this cold plunge that I've done twice. So Talia. Is it really good for me?
She says you're going to start seeing some amazing effects. Okay, well, I'm coming with you on Monday now that I'm back.
But you already look amazing.
Well, yeah.
This is for internal, yeah, like energy, this is,
I gotcha.
Focus, back pain, like lots of like circulation of your blood. Okay.
So
like
I don't
that.
Know if it's a good thing or that. You tell me, Talia.
Well, you know what? When you hurt yourself, you're supposed to put a cold pack on, not for circulation.
For swelling.
To keep the swelling down, and then you're supposed to heat it for circulation. So
maybe it helps with your swelling, so like it's like a ibuprofen effect almost. Yeah, mine. With maybe. Cold water.
I don't know.
Put athletes in bathtubs that are filled with ice.
So I know, so it's the same thing.
Let's try to give it a good solid go and see if it helps.
I've done it twice. I even woke up on Friday instead of sleeping in. So you go.
You guys do it and let me know if it works.
It's worth it. Okay. My good thing was I went down to the Valley for Liam's game and then we stayed so we could watch the varsity game on Friday. So we stayed a couple days with Luke and Paula, my brother and sister-in-law, and it was so fun. I loved it. We talked a lot. Our kids got to play a lot. We got pops and cookies and laughed and chatted, and it just made me happy. So this is my plea to Luke and Paula to please move to Snowflake for me.
Into that.
For me alone. For the babies to have
Luke
each other.
Luke and Paula, I want to tell you something. Your kids would love growing up in Snowflake.
Yes.
And
yes.
I promise you, we won't try to convert you to some sort of politics.
No, they're not worried about politics. So that's not one of them. Actually, I think it is. It's hard to be that far away from her mom, but
we have a Trump rally scheduled in about 3 months. So.
Ew, I don't want to go to a Trump rally. That's disgusting.
I'm kidding, Luke and Paula.
But yes, we do want you to live here. Anyway, all right. Thanks for coming on, Dad. We appreciate it.
You're welcome.